Luke 16. We're studying verse 15. I must have been out of it when I was... Luke 16:15. He said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Highly there is really just an emphasis word. It's whatever is esteemed among men is abomination unto God.
Why would they put highly in there then?
Well, I don't know. It's one word. It's hupsalos. In other places, hupsalos is translated as high place, or the high place, or the high mountain. It just means esteemed. Here, this word, it's hupsalos is esteemed. We're going to spend some time on this word abomination. Whatsoever is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Abomination is this word. It's B-D-E, what do you call it? The pronunciation is, it's B-D-E-L-U-G-M-A. Belugma. Belugma. It sounds like something detestable just by the way you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Badugla. And it's foul. Detestable.
Foul. I say foul.
It's a stench in the nostrils of God.
And that's what word? Abomination.
But whatsoever is esteemed among men is abomination. This has got to make you think a little bit. To look at yourself and see what you esteem, what you think is important. And if you have an ally in the world, then you know that what you esteem is abomination in the sight of God.
Yeah, this ties into the you can't serve two masters.
Well, this is the hardest, in my opinion, it's the hardest saying in the Bible. Whatsoever is esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. If what you think is important and people in the world think it's important, then it's abomination. You know you're on the wrong track. Now, again, if you're on the wrong track, you've got to push it to see whether or not you esteem it. I esteemed all kinds of things. What do you esteem? What do you think is important? Success.
Well, I can see all the idols you're referring to, but loving each other
don't esteem that most of the time. Or one doesn't, I should say. Let's look at abomination. Let's see where it's used. Let's go to Matthew 24. Let's start in verse 4, Matthew 24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. They're agreeing that he's Christ because they're coming in his name. They agreed. They're not saying that I am Christ. I mean, I am. And shall deceive many.
Wait, I'm sorry.
I didn't say that right.
Yeah, I think.
Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Now, the word Christ is the word anointed. They're not saying, I am Jesus Christ, they're saying, I am anointed. Right.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be capitalized. Remember the word anointed? It just means.
In parentheses.
Huh?
Parentheses might do it.
Well, it should say, saying I am anointed is what it should say instead of I am Christ. Remember, the anointed one is. It's Yeshua HaMashiach. A HaMashiach. In Hebrew, is anointed. Jesus' last name is the anointed one. Ha. Yeshua Ha. Mashiach. And the Ha is the article, and when in the article there, it calls forth its uniqueness. He's unique and the only one anointed. But many come in his name saying they are anointed. You hear it every day on television. There can't be an anointing without, I mean, Jesus and the anointing can't be separated. How many times did you hear the anointing has fallen at Christ for the Nations? I mean, it's the feel the anointing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll take all day there. We're not going to read all that if you want later, but verse 15 is the one that I want to study. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, what is that? What do you see? You see that you are in the ruling chair in his temple. That is the abomination of desolation. Because you've kept yourself alive in Jesus' name. And so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel, stand in the holy place. In other words, don't leave the mercy seat. Don't go back to the world for anything. Now, I believe we have seen the abomination of desolation because we have identified who the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, is, whose number is 666, and it's written on his forehead and his right hand. And that instead of Christ is you and I.
Amen.
And that, when you see it, when you can hear it, and you can agree with it even because you hear it, but when you see it, when you see the incredible evil of you, that you don't do sin, you are sin, then you see the abomination of desolation, and therefore you stand or stay in the holy place. And the holy place, and that's what's spoken of here, is the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. Nothing takes you away from it. Does that communicate?
So you stand, meaning you remain.
You remain.
And yet you've just seen yourself as the abomination.
No, you saw that, you saw the evil one. Now your true identity is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the only hope.
Okay,
you have no other identity.
We didn't make that transition.
What?
I didn't hear the transition.
Well, that's what it means to be born again.
I know, but in the, what you said before, you see that you're the abomination of desolation, you stand.
Well, but you had to have done that before you can be in the holy place. Being born again isn't making a profession saying, I am born again. Being born again is to know that Jesus Christ is your only life. And it's tested and tested and tested. That's why you're proving that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when you see this abomination of desolation, don't ever leave that mercy seat. Don't return to the world for anything. If you do, make sure you ask. Go to, I think it's Isaiah 5. Go to Isaiah 5. Let me find it first before you go there. And for Pete's benefit, don't write it down yet.
Okay.
Well, this isn't it, but this is important. Verse 18, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. Now, you're drawing iniquity with cords of vanity is because you're trying to leave the world, but you're still tied to it. And so the farther you go, the heavier it gets. You're drawing iniquity with the cords of vanity because you're staying, trying to protect and stay and keep yourself for some reason in the world. Then there's another one, and it may be here, but I can't find it. It says, woe unto them that return to Egypt without asking at my name. And so if you return to the world for anything, make sure you've taken the lowest seat. Make sure you say, Father, I don't know what else to do. Put it back in his hands. You understand? What?
I'm kind of stuck on born again here. I guess that's what we're talking about.
No, we're talking about the abomination of desolation.
Okay. We just started born again.
All right.
I saw something yesterday that I've never seen on the born again. And we've always said it. You've always said it. That language of being of the first estate.
I said being born from above. Or being born from the first estate. That's what I've always said.
Yeah. And I think yesterday I really saw that as really for the first time, and that if you really pass through that veil and see that you actually were born of that person saved, then you know Christ is in you, because that is the only being born of that first estate. It wasn't you, me, Gary Buckner. It was me and Christ, him and me, the whole thing in the creation. And when that's seen, you have been born again, because you recognize it, you understand, you see
right.
It.
It's when you know palpable. When you know that Jesus Christ is in you. Right, that's being born again.
Yeah, and then that first estate comment kind of comes into play, because
right.
I never really bought the first estate because I didn't understand, but it made awful lot of sense yesterday.
Good. That's why, remember, it says in 2 Timothy, it says, he alone has immortality.
Yeah.
That's why the Father position is that place. Where you've gone through the wilderness, you've gone into the promised land, and now you're finally in the temple and sitting on the mercy seat. That's the only place from which you can reproduce yourself, reproduce the being that God wants to be reproduced. But, so what happens there is when you see that and you see the old you as sin itself, not doing sin, then you've seen then the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel. Now, that was seen by all the prophets and many of the people in the Old Testament. Now, and they couldn't be made perfect without us. Because it's the bride. Now you are the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and members in particular.
Yeah.
So each vessel is a cell in that mystery of the body. Now, as you know, I think that one of the reasons I think the end is here is because we have seen the abomination of desolation. That's what I saw when I was converted. I didn't name it that, but I knew that. And as far as I know, I had never heard anyone else say that you and I are the Antichrist. That's when I first. I didn't want to say that to anybody, even though I saw it.
Can I say one more thing here?
Sure.
The idea when you say we are sin. Context of being born again that I just said, well, sin is activated for one main reason, and that's to separate you from the truth. That makes you sin, because we will fight to the death to not see the truth. That's the nature of man. So if our natures fight against this spirit, this God, keep us from seeing what it means just to be born again and the 10,000 other issues.
Yeah, but again, I don't want to keep pushing this, but when we are baptized with the baptism of John, that means we had seen that. Otherwise, we wouldn't want to be put in the ground or buried. So that assumes that we've seen that at our baptism.
I never saw. I've been baptized.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I'm not saying that's why we get baptized every year, because it becomes, the mystery of it goes deeper and deeper and deeper in you.
Yeah. I saw many other things. I just didn't see this.
Right. Now, the other thing that happens is you know that you have left the mercy seat and the love of the Father isn't in you now, because you love something in the world. You give breath to something in the world. You esteem something in the world. That's the tell in the cosmic poker game. That you can tell, and that's why we exhort one another daily. Well, it is still called today. that we not be in the position where we've given importance to anything in time and space, that we haven't returned to cause and effect for any reason and put on the Babylonian garment, that we are living by faith alone. And that's why there's a body. That's why we exhort one another daily. The purpose of the preaching of the cross is to show the foolishness of everything else. That's why you always make people mad. Or I do, anyway. Amen? So, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then stand, stay, remain in the holy place. Don't return to Egypt for any reason, because the end is here. And because if you return to the world, then the garment's spotted by the flesh. If you turn to Babylon, the garment is spotted by the flesh. But, I mean, this is what, if you read what's called Luther didn't start the revolution by nailing the Wittenberg door on the 95 Theses. He started the revolution when he presented the disputations called the Heidelberg Disputation, when he outlined these very things, boom, 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 boom. And that's when we said everything else, other than that one book, The Bondage of the Will, he wanted everything else he had ever written to be destroyed, because The Bondage of the Will has the Heidelberg Disputation in it. But the preaching of the cross is an offense to man in every way. The gospel is an offense. It's not good news to man. It's the worst possible news to man. Because it costs you your life. And that's what I fought against for those first years, because I woke up from the conversion experience and said, my God, wait a minute. I could do something. That's why I had to prove to me. I didn't study the Bible to learn. I studied it to prove, or trying to prove, that what I saw was wrong. And that's why you need no man teach you. All you can do is have somebody say what sparks a witness within you. And it may take years before that witness is sparked. And that's not a put down in any way. It's just what is. You know, remember John was probably 8 or 9 years old when Jesus was crucified. Mark, excuse me. I'm sorry. He was fascinated. He's the one that ran into the, you know, he followed them into the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the soldiers were coming running after him, and he was, they grabbed onto his cloak, and he ran home naked. That's what we know it's him, because he doesn't identify it in Mark. He says that. And yet, it took many, many years. He even after he started as a disciple, and he worked with Paul, sort of Paul's assistant, probably in his early 20s by now. Paul kicked him out, sent him back. Don't concern yourself with, the only concern yourself is if you're returning to the world without asking at his name. Because there are many people in a position that you don't think you could do this. You don't think you can live by faith. But at least ask. And if you don't believe this, if you don't believe, I mean, the gospel that I preach is, that I see, is absolutely ridiculous. Because it's of no benefit to man in any way. Why would anybody choose this? That's why it's only to the poor, to the ones that have pushed the barriers and seen the emptiness and the ridiculousness of that. They've seen they've been eating dust their whole life and getting sustenance from dust. I think I went on a rant. No, I didn't. I didn't rant.
A mini rant.
No,
not much of a rant. All right, let's look at another. Let's look at Mark's version of wait a minute, I lost my place.
Mark?
Yeah, it's Mark's version of this, what we just read in Matthew, Mark 13. Let's start in verse 9. Well, no, let's start in verse 5. We see the same thing. Mark 13, verse 5. And they just asked us when all these things shall be fulfilled. And Jesus answering them began to say, "Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' or 'I am anointed,' as we said. And you shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled. For such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But take heed to yourself, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues you shall be beaten. Shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatever shall be given you in that hour, that minute, that speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents, who shall come to them to be put to death, cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where he ought not, let him that readeth understand it. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountain." On and on, but that's the version. Well, let's go one more to. No, let's go to now Revelation 17. We've studied this many times, but this is when John saw the whore. And this we'll quit here.
Me, that indicates that Mark didn't understand.
Huh?
He didn't say anything about standing in the Holy
Ghost. I know, I'm just saying that's Mark's version. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now, in every case, when the angel's speaking, he says, "Come see," in some way. In each case, he comes and sees from the top down. You understand that? Instead of the bottom up. You see from the standpoint of eternity, not from the standpoint of time and space. That's what it means, come and see. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, the wine of her fornication, remember, is always the wine of Ephraim. And the wine of Ephraim was self-seeking. You get drunk on the wine of self-seeking, just as you get drunk on alcohol, because it consumes you when you have a good idea. You understand? So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. He saw the same beast in Revelation 13, but he didn't see the whore sitting on the seven mountains. The whore is sitting on the seven high places of your mind, and she's causing you to commit fornication, and the kings of the earth to do the same. Because you go somewhere else for your wine, your corn, and your oil. That's called fornication. In other words, you go somewhere else other than God for your necessities. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Everything that about the whore is attractive to the human race. She had a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. It's golden cup because every person alive, every man on the earth, thinks that what's in that golden cup is a good thing. That's why the counting of the Omer from Passover to Pentecost is coming out of the 49 gates of impurity, and every one of those gates of impurity are something that you think is good. So the golden cup that's full of the abomination of desolation, everything in it is something that you think is good. You understand that? Right. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, the Abominations of the Earth. I pray you see this. That's a good place to stop. Anybody have any response? Any questions?
I had a little voice in my head say, but I don't want to see this.
I didn't either. That's why I spent all those years trying to prove it was wrong. But it's the only thing. There is nothing.
What do you think?
You know why people say bless you when you sneeze?
Mm-hmm. The closest you come to dying.
Hmm?
The closest you come to dying.
No, the Middle Ages, they thought when you sneezed, you were, the Holy Spirit was leaving you and a demon could come in. Not serious. That's
pretty good.
All right. Everybody understand perfectly. I assume so by your silence. And by your silence, everybody agrees.
I agree with what I agree with.
That doesn't count. Take a big guy.